On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So dirty.
Really dirty.
Welcome back to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Rob and Matt.
It's true. It's two of us here in the same spot.
Just the two. You and
Reunited. And it feels so
okay.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio, at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. We are interrupting our tour across the National Hockey League with just one behind us.
With a beer crack and good to go.
As we figured, you know, we got to check in at some of these training camps before we preview the divisions. But Talkan Sports 355, we teed up the Pacific Division. It's available now at TalkanAudio.com or really anywhere you're listening to this.
Just remove Brock Besser from that prediction because he's been concussed.
He's been senatorized.
Yeah.
I heard a couple people on Ottawa Sports Radio, other sports, that this is DJ Smith hockey, crippling guys from behind. But that he wants to play a harder game and that, you know, the Senators are going to show you that even though, you know, maybe they're not going to be at the top of the standings, they're here to compete. And I just feel like it's a weird time to make that. You hurt two guys.
Yeah. Well, but I think universally, anybody who I've, and it, because it was a web-only game out of Abbotsford.
Yeah.
Abbotsford.
Well, home of the Flames.
It was web only. So not everybody.
I didn't know
got,
Canadian teams still had to do that anywhere.
Yeah.
There's two of them.
It was the only. What was the other one?
Well, Ottawa and Vancouver, two Canadian teams.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that was very flaccid.
Fucking, it just came spurt.
Okay.
Way faster than I wanted it to.
Honestly.
Which, I mean, we can all relate to.
No.
Jesus Christ. No,
what a mess. You are off to a ripping start over there.
Yeah. Can't take me anywhere, folks.
Anyways, who cares about web-only games? But Tierney ran him from behind. Like, to me, it's a suspension.
You know how I feel about Chris Tierney.
Yeah, well, and of all the guys, that's the guy that's going to run you?
I don't know.
And that's what happens, right? When you have guys who aren't known for that, who try to do that, it ends poorly, usually. But I haven't heard anything, but to me, that's the kind of thing that's...
Well, he's in protocol, right? Brock Besser is in concussion protocol. Oscar Falkenberg, I believe, was the other guy who got hurt coming out of that game.
Yeah, who got the Malachi crunch by, I don't know, some guy I've never heard
Scott
of.
Scott Sabourin.
No, Sabourin was the other guy, but the both of them arrived, like, not just, like, pinballed. They both arrived at the same time and just blasted the guy. Now, to me, Buddy gets thrown out, and I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, Buddy.
Smith, Evans, I don't know.
I think it's an Evans.
He gets ejected, and then Tierney runs a guy into the boards from behind and doesn't get...
Oh, like, but that's not that kind of player is what you always hear.
Yeah, but at the end of the day,
once you do it,
it's done, man.
You're that kind of
player. Yeah, and you go, all right, you're not that kind of guy. Well, you have to prove it next time.
Yeah.
Three games, bang.
That's
so, you see, yeah, no, I know, but to me, if you're going to concuss somebody with, and it isn't.
Well, rough camp for Besser, right? Missed a bit of time working on the contract, gets in there, and then gets crunched, and
yeah.
Now he's into protocol, missing a bit more time. We'll see what he's going to get off to, but I don't know, man. Like,
well, all I'm saying is that's the kind of shit they need to take out of the game.
Agreed.
Doesn't matter who it is, hitting or being hit, from behind into the boards, dangerous.
So a couple of contracts signed, somebody walking around with their pants down. We'll get to all of it.
And that's me, and I didn't get any money.
we didn't get a chance to talk to it before. I was amused at the Leafs Sens preseason game before by Austin Matthews checking Saverin's number as he skated away. Did you get a look at that?
Of course. Bah, of course.
It's amusing, right? Like, that's all it is. Like, fans on both sides, if you want, you go, that's disrespectful, or, you know, you're supposed to be this kind of player, or whatever. Again, maybe we'll get to that part of it.
No,
that's fucking hilarious, right?
I got zero issue with it.
So for those who missed it, Scott Saverin is a guy who's not got a chance in hell of making the big club.
He played for DJ Smith in...
Yeah, good for him. Oshawa.
In Oshawa. And honestly, he's hanging around.
He's not making it. He's an AHL guy anyway. And he's
wait and see.
He's bipping and chirping at Austin Matthews. And as Matthews goes to skate away, he kind of gives the look at the back of his jersey.
Right? Well, he turns him a bit to look at the back of his jersey.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. Like, who are you, right? I got to see your name, your number. Yeah. That's fucking hilarious.
Well, of course it's hilarious. And the thing is, and Saverin is just sort of like,
Oh no.
Well,
just finished dummying Ben Harper, too.
Well, and he'd thrown a bunch of hits. Yep. Like, he was super loud. That game.
The one on Morgan Riley was kind of a slew foot. That was a bit ugly. But the Leafs don't have, well, other than Ben Harper, anybody who's going to try and match that. And Harper got, you know, punched down. So,
yeah,
that didn't work either. But I don't know. To me, that's just a young, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny.
As you say, it's a non-NHL guy.
Yeah.
Trying to make his way.
Yep. I kind of wanted to start, I think, with what I thought was a fairly interesting trade between the Hurricanes and the Blues, in that we've been hearing for at least a year now that maybe Justin Falk is the odd man out on a very good, very deep Carolina blue line. And we'd heard a few weeks ago that maybe it was Anaheim and that he didn't necessarily want to go there. And I think he had a no trade. And if he didn't, it was that he wouldn't sign an extension in Anaheim. So that sort of fell apart. But he gets traded from Carolina to St. Louis for Edmondson. I forget his
Mike?
First name. Sure.
No, it's not Mike.
Jordan? Josh? Scott?
No. I can't.
Billy?
I work with him. I work with the Mike.
And he... there's something else going from St. Louis.
Yeah, there's a prospect name. Yeah.
But
Buick, Bowick, Bulk, something along those lines, who I've never heard of. But
Buick,
like,
Bullock, Bulk, I think was his name. So he gets traded from St. Louis to Carolina with Edmondson for Justin Falk, the good one.
Yeah, so it's Falk in a seventh or Falk in a fifth for Edmondson, Bulk, and a seventh, whatever it is. It's a fifth and a seventh. They're going in either directions, and then the parties previously named.
So what's interesting to me is that Justin Falk is a right-handed defenseman. St. Louis is now fairly rich in that spot with Colton Parayko and Alex Pietrangelo, and they immediately lock up Justin Falk at, I think it was, 6.75 for 7 years.
Yep. So they have him for eight, I believe, now.
Yes, beyond this year coming.
Eight, and he's 27.
Yeah. But that is a rich right side of your defense, and I wonder, did it seem to you like this was preparing for life without
Bomeister?
Pietrangelo, I was going to say.
Well,
Bomeister will come off the cap, and they won't re-sign him coming up this year, but he's a left-side guy.
Right, Pietrangelo has one more year as well.
I think this is Pietrangelo's last year coming up.
That's what I mean.
Okay,
this year here.
Yeah. So are they preparing for life without it? Like, that is a... we talked just a year ago about the right side in Winnipeg, right, with Trouba, Byfuglien, and Myers. And was someone going to have to move over, or were they just going to live with it?
Hey, man, move over. It's Byfuglien. Move over, man.
moved right out of the fucking.
Give
a all of those guys
give
are
a
gone
space
now,
here, man.
I wonder if this is sort of similar to almost an analytics argument where you don't sign guys like Pietrangelo at 28 to long-term deals. And, you know, he's a captain. He just finished lifting the cup a couple of months ago. And are they preparing for if he won't take just like a 3-year deal that they're going to just let him walk at the end of the year or they'll deal him or something?
Yeah, well, it makes perfect sense. The thing is, I wonder if it now is Falk's an upgrade over Edmondson.
Yep. Yeah, great right side of that defense now.
Hugely. But I also wonder if you're ending up with more of the same.
Yep.
Right? In terms of what made one of the things that made St. Louis so great was the inability to get to the front of the net. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're taking away one of those guys.
Well, Falk, yeah, he's more of an offensive
distributor.
Yeah.
Right? Transporter, distributor.
Yep.
And so if you start lessening that a bit, yes, you've gotten more skilled, but man, I wonder if, unless the motive is eye to the future.
What if they turn around in the next couple of weeks, trade Pietrangelo to Winnipeg for Laine or Connor, but all of a sudden Winnipeg's got a gaping hole on their defense where they let a pile go and maybe they're not sure. Patrick Laine is the one who's burning bridges as he goes.
Yeah.
You know? You'd have to do Pietrangelo plus, I would think, because
for sure, age alone
and you know, free agent status and, you know, controllable years and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's in division, but you know, what would in,
well, see, that is one of those things you like to talk about. You're like, that's interesting. Yeah.
Could Falk now be, you know, Parayko moves up, becomes your number one right-handed
like
guy. Yeah. I think we all do. And then Falk moves into your top four, you know, he's that second guy on the right side and if you don't think that you're long-term with Pietrangelo, would you ship him to a division rival and maybe boost, you know, put him on the second line with...
we'll give you Barbashev.
Well.
Barbashev and Pietrangelo. How about that? And a second.
Yeah, of course. The obligatory second.
Always the second.
I don't know. You know, it just, you know, a thought that could you boost your offense and you really haven't taken too much of a hit. I think obviously Pietrangelo is better than Falk. But if you don't think you have him long term, then maybe that's an interesting move you could look at, you know.
Yeah, are you hearing rumbling somewhere? Are you ready?
I'm not all that well connected in the St. Louis front office.
Okay.
I just
no, but people talk,
solve
right?
Solve a couple of problems.
You read different things in different areas. When
I was just looking at where, you know, Winnipeg's missing and are they going to be able to get both these guys done? And Laine's making a bunch of noise. So
see, we already talked about that Marner to Calgary for Tkachuk in a second.
Yeah. Always the second. why don't we talk about, you know, I don't know how much there is on Marner, but it's noteworthy in the fact that some of his fellow top-end RFAs have begun to sign. Braden Point is locked up. Matthew Tkachuk is locked up. Which of those deals was more surprising to you? If either, really, I guess.
So you're talking about in terms of the Tkachuk
and
Point?
And Point.
I'm interested in... In the fact that they're both just 3-year deals.
3 years.
Right? It seems to be more and more of these guys, and in the Tkachuk one especially, more and more of these guys, are going for that shorter.
Yep. I'm going to get paid again.
Yeah. And so if you look now, I didn't see the breakdown on the Tkachuk deal. It said 3x7.
Yeah, it ramps up.
So it is ramped up at the end.
Yep.
I think at the end of the day, he may have preferred to go long-term. I'm sure most people would. But I think Calgary was unwilling to go much higher.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, he can say, okay, I'll take the 3x7. I'm the highest paid guy now. So it's not like he had to go, okay, I've been held underneath the glass ceiling that is the salary cap
with
Gujo, Calgary.
Yeah, with Gujo, Mana, and
right, Giordano.
Giordano, yeah.
And so that to me makes good sense. It's the 6.75x3 in Tampa.
Braden Point is a center. Again, short term. Now,
probably the best of all the players available.
I think so. Now he was 92 points for Marner's 94, but he's a center, on a team that was just unreal last year.
Right. It's only so much puck to go around.
Right. I guess when you look at it, the speculation seems to be that 6.75 in Tampa is the equivalent of between 8, 8.5 in Toronto, if we're trying to compare to Marner.
Yeah, so...
But it's... You look at the 3 years versus the 6 years that you got out of Marner. I think Tampa's window, their group, is a little older, and it's not old, but it's a little older than the Leafs group.
I think Stamkos, I think you can see...
Already, eh? Because yeah. He's had some injuries. Hedman...
The last two playoffs have been, what's the word? Ineffective.
Hedman comes out of the Tavares draft, which is the tip-top end of our old guys, okay, right?
And sorry, let me just, before we get letters and emails and phone calls, Stamkos, not great in the playoffs last year, but no Tampa player was.
When did we get a phone in here?
The year before, it was the conference finals. I know they made it to the conference finals, but he and Cooch were both non-existent, especially in the last half of that series.
That's right.
Right, and that's really all I'm saying is there's been a couple of years where... There's been no show. And so, yeah, you wonder what the injuries he's had.
So is this just, do you think in both cases, I guess I'm more focused on the Tampa one just because they're in our division. And as a Leaf fan, I'm more going.
You mean over the Calgary deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I think that's all there is to it.
But when you look at it, you go, is this similar, though the circumstances are different, to McAvoy, where... Those teams groups are a little older, so you take a little less right now and to get it done, and then you know a pile of things are coming off the cap here shortly. We'll see where the window is, and I get to take another run at this, because I bet you both of those guys, I shouldn't say McAvoy, I don't know, but I bet you both of those guys in terms of Tkachuk and Point in 3 years end up with a higher AAV than Marner.
In 3 years?
Yeah.
Mm.
Point for sure.
Yeah,
when he comes around to do this again,
he'll still be 1 year away from UFA.
But we do this qualifying offer, and
there'll
be arbitration. Even if you want to throw in the Florida Ontario thing, I don't know.
You know what? And it's really interesting because there's so much talk about how the Leafs buggered it up.
Yep.
Right, paying all those guys.
Well, and there's only one left that could bail Dubas out from that narrative, and I doubt it happens, right? Like, at this point, it looks far more likely Rantanen would do the 3 years as well and just...
Right, that seems to be the way it's going to go.
You and I have said all summer, Laine is smartest as a bridge after his last season.
Yeah. Well, and Winnipeg should be going with the bridge there.
Yes, both sides should want the bridge there.
Right.
Show me.
The deal with the comparison of Point and Marner, which is what immediately everybody went to.
Of course, yeah.
Right? And they're like... There's $4 million between those two guys and blah, 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 blah. And then it comes down to the taxing situation. So it's gross versus net. And I know people don't want to get into all that, but it really is $1 million difference between the two deals.
Yep.
And Marner went 6 years, Point went three.
Right.
So it's not really.
It's apples and oranges, but they're like not, they came from the same farm sort of thing. Like.
Yeah. And so it's really. The difference is $1 million on the contract, money in pocket kind of type deal.
Right.
So I don't have as big a deal because then Point still has the year out in front of him.
Yep.
Marner gave up more years.
Yes, he did.
So at the end of the day, really, I don't care about that
at all. But this does continue to be like the big criticism of Dubas, and it's a fair one, is yes, even if you believe all of Toronto's circumstances were different and we have a different vision and blah, 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 none of your competitors are doing it that way.
Right. And to me, you wondered if that was going to infect the market.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what.
Did he pull these guys all up?
And we said it.
Yeah.
For sure. I said it many times that Marner may not have been the best player,
right,
but was the most important because he was going to set the bar the highest due to internal salaries.
Yep.
And so clearly, yeah, they went right to the top. In the internal salaries, but nobody else has sort of matched that.
Right. And you know as well as I do that, like, my stance has always been centers are more valuable than wingers, and there's another case where Point goes,
yeah.
Like, I agree with you, there's the 3 years versus the 6 years, and there's the Florida versus Ontario.
Yeah, the gross
and
versus net.
Yeah, all of that stuff. But again, He's a center. Should he not gotten a little, you know, it doesn't make Dubas look great, right? You have to really want to believe in.
Well, as you said, I think the last year point at nine, yep. Yeah, it's quite possible that that point, if he continues to put up 90 points or 100 points, they win a cup. Ooh, heaven forbid they win a cup, right? Then, yeah, you're probably looking at him having a higher AAV.
Who's next? Rantanen?
Connor.
Connor or Laine?
Connor. Cheveldayoff's got to get off his wallet at some point.
Yeah.
Right, as things grow closer and your defense is in disarray, you can keep the semblance of something interesting if you can bring back both Buff. Your forwards.
Well, yeah, okay. Could you get Buff back at Christmas or something? Like, because they're hurting bad.
Well, because otherwise,
all of a sudden, what's his name?
Pionk
is now your top pair. Ooh, fuck.
Yeah, Morrissey and Pionk, and then whoever else is left in behind you there.
Yeah. Kulikov still kicking around.
Kulikov
there.
Is. They have him slotted in on the second pair.
I bet they do now, yeah.
And somebody that I thought was not a bad signing 3 years ago.
Right.
You panned it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he's on the second pairing now. Hey, Dion Phaneuf's, out there somewhere too, guys, just in case. You're looking for a slow hand back on the D.
Do you think that
to me, it's got to be one of those Winnipeg guys.
Rantanen, I guess, went to Colorado, as we predicted, and said, I think Marner's my comparable, and his agent went on the radio and said that, and Joe Sakic came back and basically, yeah, no, we don't see it that way. Toronto's doing their thing, and we'll do ours.
Yeah.
Will Rantanen be the highest paid out of those three guys?
Higher than Marner?
No, sorry, out of Laine A and Connor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rantanen will get the most money of those three guys. Yeah. I have
you
no problem
with that. Want to take a stab at where he ends up? Like, I don't know the Colorado tax thing.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's great. Yeah. It's certainly not one of those states where...
No, it's not a total
you know, it's
tax
not Texas. It's not Texas. It's not Tennessee. It's not Vegas. It's not Florida. I want to say in the 8 to 9 range.
Fuck. That's going to hurt us.
Oh, I don't see him getting...
Oh, I don't think he's getting 10.
But see, I don't think he's giving up 6 years either. I think he's coming in the bridge. Yeah. So and if it's a bridge, then I think you probably see something in the range of, and I'm just going to totally spitball. And I like the, if you went with $20 million bucks over 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so just under 7. I got it maybe a little higher than that.
Okay. And really what I was looking at was 22, I think.
Okay.
Which was, sort of 6.5, 6.5.
He wants that last year up high. So.
Yeah. And so to me, that's, So my math was just poor. So 13-22 is what I was looking at.
A little closer to home, the Ottawa Senators lock up Thomas Chabot, 8 years, $8 million per. We've had multiple guys on from the sports media landscape here around the market that have mentioned, if you're going to salvage anything out of this ownership group with this fan base, that was the guy. That was the key. You had to make a move there, and
After Stone left, because that's what he said about Stone too, true. Right?
Yeah, fair enough. But Thomas Chabot, the promising young defenseman, 60-odd points last year, I believe. Is that?
No, he topped out around 54, 55, not quite 60.
He now holds the fifth highest cap hit amongst defensemen in the next year. This year, he's still on the last year of his entry level.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with that? Was that the right move? It certainly was a good PR move. Was it a good hockey move?
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. It's a little rich early. It puts him in, as you said, fifth or sixth. I can't remember. But they listed the guys above him.
Yeah. Teddy Company.
And when you list him with those guys, at this moment, he's the worst of those guys.
Sure.
Right? So... But I think if he matches potential, and that's an if,
yep,
that he could be top three or four in that list in 3 years.
Well, and that's sort of the interesting thing with a lot of these deals, especially when you give 8 years like that. I think, as you've just mentioned, right now, or when he starts this deal in a year, he won't be worth it. But I think there's a real chance by year three or four, that's a really good deal. Like, you're really happy with it. If the cap goes up as you expect and all these sorts of things. And at some point, you had to keep somebody, right? Well,
Goes into his next contract at 30.
Right.
Or 31. So you have that guy.
In all his prime years.
All his prime years bought up right now.
Yeah. And quite frankly, even though it's PR-wise might be unpopular, and who knows in 8 years what the fuck the landscape looks like, that's the time you consider letting them walk. We had your best years, and we probably got them at a good number.
Well, but and because if things go as planned here, you're cycling out of that.
Yep.
If in the next 2 or 3 years things bump up,
yep,
you have 5 years of unprecedented success, then you are on the backside of that.
Yeah.
And if you can flip him on what will be in air quotes friendly deal.
Right. Well, and it's the same thing that we've been talking about on Leafs Twitter with Marner. 6 years, did it go well or didn't it? He's 28. You had all his best years. Yeah, go and do whatever you want, or we'll see. But it might be time to let that guy walk. That's what we're seeing now, right?
Yeah.
So Ottawa gets a little longer because it's not like these guys at 28 immediately just drop. It's just you don't want to commit long term again. So Ottawa's even locked up probably a little bit further, which might be even more comfortable.
See, we talked about this. To me, this whole idea of...
Because Colin White went first.
Yep.
He locked in long term. I was surprised to see that. But in listening to Shabbat in his, you know, press conference after he signed, he said, that was important. We talked over the summer, and he said, I'm in, and I said, I'm in, and now you've started to build something, right? You've locked up some pieces. I don't think either of us believe that Colin White is a top-end number one center,
nope,
but he's a good piece on a winning team,
right?
And you got to start to pull those guys in and get them committed, right, before anyone else will.
And he's in a 4.75 over six.
Yeah, no, really nice little deal.
So if you can slot him in as a second-line guy,
yeah,
eventually,
yep,
I think he's going to get his head caved in this year. Having to play above his experience.
Yep.
And eventually probably his talent. Like I said, I think I really see him as a two.
Right.
But he's probably going to have to play some big minutes this year as a one.
Yeah, because at camp they have him with Tkachuk and Brown.
And
correct?
Brown.
Yeah.
Yep. So like I said, to me he's going to get caved in.
Yeah, probably.
This year, but the team will.
Yep.
And as long as he's able to learn from it, be a great two when they draft the next.
What's a successful year for Shabbat look like this season?
Man, you know what? I think I'm on record saying he may regress points wise.
Yeah,
but you have him in a spot now with DJ Smith, Davis Payne, and Jack Capuano.
Payne is coming,
right? And so you have this. There's going to be a real focus on defensive play. Capuano is a former defenseman, Islanders head coach.
Yep.
He's going to be in charge of that. And
I don't think we talk much about that. I like that as a low key hire for Ottawa.
Yeah. And so, and he's a co-coach, I believe is what he's listed as, right? You can't be a former head coach and come in as an assistant to a coach. So I think I see a bit of regression in points,
yeah,
but hopefully a continued improvement in overall game. And then as the team improves, right, I think you're going to see his points really go up.
As a fan who also follows this stuff a little more, you know, closely than a lot of people do, or even just as someone who maybe talks to more Sens fans than I do, because you're kind of a lowly species, did you get a sense that this was important, or was it just a mental thing? I know this is important, so it's done, and it's whatever. Or could you feel a bit of a bump or some excitement when
it was happened? Absolutely. You look at it on Twitter. You look at just in terms of reaction to local radio. Most people were more excited than I was.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. But for a lot of people, super pessimistic that it, when you're on the mat, it doesn't take much to sort of.
Well, and the first thing I sent you was, look at those expensive years at the end when it's, yep, somebody else's problem, right? In terms of just the Melnick thing.
Yeah. Well, it's the second half of the deal. The last couple of years are lower again, but there is $10 million
that are a couple of years away. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But the final year it drops down a bit to seven again.
Yeah.
But yeah, huge bump. And people are looking at that saying, okay, we've started to put a couple of things together where money is going out.
Yeah.
Right? Where you've had all these players leaving, but you've also had all these guys coming in who are on, you know, who have lower salary out than your cap hit, or we get them the 2 days after their bonus is due, or like these sort of nickel and dime, small time things.
Yeah.
Right. And fans see that, and you see it over and over again. Now, you know what? There's only four contracts on the books next year, or five.
Oh my God.
Right. For guys moving forward. Right. So in terms of now, that may have changed since White and Shabbat, but all it means is
and you get some of those young guys locked up.
We're going to see what's happening here, right? And you identify your core. Now you can't fuck up.
Right.
Right? You have to identify what you have and go from there.
Well, and I will say, anecdotally speaking, even on Twitter, you know, you did see a little bit of, all right, bought my six-pack, right, of tickets or whatever, right? Like, people following through on there, until you show me something, I'm not doing anything, I'm not buying. And you did see a couple of people, okay, like, that's something. I don't know if the relationship's ever going to be great here between Melnick and the fan base, but this was clearly a positive move. Like you said, there was a couple of them, you know, and everybody knows this team's going to be bad, so it's hard to get people excited to buy tickets, but... Well, you did almost, see some people going, yeah, okay.
And it's almost like everyone's looking now going, okay, next July 1st, Brady Tkachuk, you can extend him out at
sure,
that point.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, people would be like, okay.
Well, in that regard, I was surprised that he didn't wait a little longer.
Well,
no player seems to ever get punished for, you know, financially speaking, to not, you know, I guess if you're right and that he's going to take a step back points wise, maybe this was the right thing, but could he have gotten 8-5 next year?
Yeah, I think even if he took a step back, and when I mean that, I think he's still, I'm talking about a 10% step back.
Sure.
Anybody expecting him to hit that 70 point plateau this year?
Probably. Yeah, not enough help for that.
Right. Not enough help, and you'd have to kill it on the power play.
Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah, that he, if you listen to any of his newsers or pressers,
yeah,
he's saying, because people ask him the same thing, why didn't you wait?
Right.
Like, what's the, and he's saying, A, I like it in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And on a side note, I think a lot of guys who are inside the NHL bubble, they don't get all the other same bullshit that we get, right? The team that drafts them. They're right. Happy here. They sure. Don't know much.
Family's here. He's a French-Canadian kid. There's some French prevalence here.
Okay, and he said, you know what? He goes, I knew on my draft day, the chances of me getting drafted to a team close to my home. So he's from just outside Quebec City. He said, we're slim to none.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I get to play in the NHL, greatest league in the world.
Yeah.
Close to my hometown, my family and friends. He never mentioned language, which I'm surprised because as a French-Canadian.
Yeah, there's something here, yeah.
Well, and I think it's huge for the marketing of this team to have, if he could turn into a legit superstar and you could have somebody who's fluent in both languages.
That's true, yeah.
It'd be huge for this team. But he's saying, yeah, I like it. I didn't need to wait. They're going to offer me
eight times eight. Yeah. And there is always the risk you shatter your ankle or something,
right.
Miss
like,
the whole year.
This is huge for me. This is huge for my family, and I like it here. So we'll wait and we'll see. And so to me, all those things, you know, like as a Senators fan who hasn't had a lot of great news, it's nice to hear that somebody likes us, right? Somebody who's not from here is like, yeah, all right, I'll stay here.
Why don't we talk about the most interesting NHL news to come out of Arizona since the Senators Uber last fall?
Yeah, look at that. Erase that whole dark little spot.
Austin Matthews always trying to one-up the Sens wherever he can. People have heard the news. I'm sure we'll share it at all the usual places. But facing charges for, I was going to say indecent exposure. It's not, but it's like mischief, essentially, is what they've charged him with. And I guess essentially what happened was back in July,
May 28th.
And I saw a great tweet from a Bruins guy I follow, Pete Blackburn, is like, oh, look at the Leafs finally disappointing people in May instead of April. So Austin Matthews and a couple buddies get drunk. They approach the car of a security guard. She's a woman. She's filling out paperwork there, and they start jiggling the handle like they're trying to get in. End up walking away. Austin Matthews drops his pants. There's some debate as to whether it sounds like he left his underwear up,
yep,
but was grabbing his butt cheeks while he did it.
Yeah, clearly bent over.
Yeah.
Drop trowel.
Walking away with his pants
around.
And
then was grabbing his ass cheeks.
Yeah.
Underwear up.
Yeah. There's been a pile of different takes on this thing. It sounds like a drunk millionaire being an asshole, and that's probably the extent of it. But at the same time,
do you even need the millionaire part?
No, you probably don't.
No, honest to God.
But there's absolutely an argument or a fair point to be made that a woman is now sitting alone in her car as four drunk guys advance upon the car. That's not a comfortable situation, and he put her in a very bad, even if nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good situation. So what's been really interesting is trying to pin down who knew what when. And it sounded like this afternoon that the Leafs were totally blindsided by this yesterday, which was shocking to me because when this first, and by yesterday I mean Tuesday, when this first came out, my first reaction was, why wouldn't they get ahead of this? Like, because he was charged in July.
Yeah.
So you have all of August, announce it.
He was charged?
Yes, I believe so. And so you have all of August to then go, here's a stupid thing that happened in the offseason. The media in Toronto, of course, because it's a Leafs thing, will lose their minds, but it calms down a little. He's got to make a statement at the beginning of camp.
And we can't have this guy as captain.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. And then you just sort of roll through, right? But by allowing it to blow up during camp a week before the season.
At a time not of your choosing.
Right. But it sounds like maybe the Leafs didn't know. And that, to me, is the most shocking of all of this, is just that, did you think this might just go away? Or, like, it's been really interesting to see how this has all come out.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where, first of all, I think the biggest crime he's committed is that mustache. Like, honestly, reconsider.
Especially with a little bit of Mexican heritage, like he's got.
Well, and not only that, now you're trying to get into a female security officer's car with that mustache.
Okay. We don't know for sure. We cannot confirm he had the mustache yet.
Okay. But that to me is a crime. That to me is the worst thing that's been happening.
Yeah.
And I want to be sensitive to it as well, because what the situation you've painted is, is real. 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yep.
Four drunken males approach, and they're probably loud and rowdy.
A woman by themselves, yep.
Yeah, and so to me, that is real.
Yep.
At
the same time, if we're being real, it's a drunk idiot.
Yep.
Did something stupid. We can argue about, you couldn't possibly make him captain now, and I don't think they can. Like, the shitstorm will be...
See, to me, I'm of two opinions on that. And again, maybe I'm not the benchmark because I've done a boatload of stupid shit in my life.
So we emailed back and forth this morning about what we were going to talk about on the show today. And I put, whatever the Austin Matthews thing, you said the Arizona crime spree that couldn't possibly allow him to be captain.
That makes him totally unworthy of being captain.
And I replied and said, but makes him a riot at parties, right? Like,
for sure.
This is, I understand the thing, and I understand this was a bad situation for her, and she was probably... But he's just an idiot. He's 21 years old.
And I think he's going to pay for this.
I do too.
And so, again.
But with the captaincy or with PR wise. Like, I don't think he's going to. He didn't kill anybody. He's not going to jail.
He showed some poor judgment.
Yes, he did.
But that to me is it.
Yeah.
And at 21 years old or 22.
But the Toronto Maple Leafs cannot now come out in the next week and go, here's our guy. Here's our leader.
See, but to me, I understand that.
I hope Tavares and Riley clear their schedule this week.
It can't be Tavares. If it's anybody else,
it's got to be Riley. And I'm fine with that.
And really, I think it should be Riley.
I do too, to be honest with you. But
at the end of the day, it's people saying Toronto is this, progressive female forward thinking organization, hiring Haley Wickenheiser to do what? I'm not really sure. Does she work at camp? Does she work at, I'm not
she
sure what she's doing.
Camp. She hasn't or, been yeah, much
or if
this
it
year.
Was just a figurehead signing. Good for you guys.
Maybe.
Also the first team, I believe, to hire a full-time female scout.
Yep.
So there is that. And that's no small thing.
Right.
Right. That they've tried to put themselves forward as this female forward kind of organization, which is admirable. It should send a signal. That being said, I don't think this takes away from that. Poor judgment, but really, harmless fun that could have been misinterpreted.
Yeah. And that is what it is. Yes.
Right. And at the end of the day, so that's one angle to it. And you're like, oh my God, yeah, that's going to cost them. The other side is, this happens today, and in this 24-hour news cycle, blam, 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 opening night, you bring him out with a C, and this is 90% shoveled over.
But there will be groups, right? I'd say PR-wise, this is like...
And what are they saying? That he's a woman what? Yes. In this era, well, in this era of Antonio Brown, Ray Rice...
This is it. there, when you look at the charges, there is no, and look, we're picking at fucking whatever here. There is no sexual this. There is no assault that. There is no what. It's mischief.
Yep.
But you can absolutely see how it would impact certain people. I just, with everything you just pointed out about the Leafs trying to be this forward-thinking thing, I think it's going to be hard for them to step forward within the next week and put this guy up front, even though I absolutely believe that was the plan, to the point where Babcock answered the captain question a couple times at camp this year, said, yeah, we're not going to wait, make you guys wait much longer. Like, everyone knew this was...
Yeah, and do you tell me something now, Leaf boy? Do you...
Leaf man, I prefer.
Do you think the tea leaves, with more of this dispute between Dubas and Babcock, that Matthews is a Dubas pick, but Babcock would rather have Riley or
Tavares? Yeah, that's hard to tell. Because they did interview Mike Babcock on Wednesday morning. He said, I heard about it last night when everybody else did. I spoke to Austin this morning, which is, like I said, was Wednesday morning. And I asked him if he was okay. And one of the reporters said, do you believe that this impacts his ability to be a leader in the locker room? And he said, no, I don't. So,
right.
In whatever Babcock
I agree with that.
Way he can, I think he's...
Babcockian, we
yes.
call it.
Bab Kosher?
Nope, Babcockian.
Okay, fine. Well, sense boy.
I'm okay with that, really.
I know, okay. So, you know, he's backing him, I guess, as much as he could. I think... The captaincy at this point has become, don't you think, as much PR as actual sporting?
For sure. Yeah, and I'm not sure. See, it can't be Tavares because
I think it could be.
I think him being the captain on the island where two reporters show up every day and you see the same guys all year.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing at all. And I'm not sure he has the demeanor to. And but I'm not sure Matthews does either. I think Morgan Riley is the perfect guy for that.
Okay, but if you remember, last year, Morgan Riley had his own controversy, which he was exonerated by with the...
Oh, yeah.
He kept rag it, and then people were hearing other things.
Yes.
And he had to come out and whatever, but he marches in pride. He shows up at all the things. He's been here forever. I like Morgan Riley as the captain, mainly because you don't have to pick between Matthews and Tavares, and you don't then get Marner's... fucking panties in a knot about Austin getting things that he doesn't. I like Riley as the guy, but it only took one misheard quote from Morgan Riley to have his name dragged through the fucking mud for a couple of days, right?
Yep.
So these sorts of things happen. I think it could still be Matthews, but I think the chances of it being him before the season starts, which I absolutely think was the case, I think that's gone way down.
And now, I think it doesn't matter either way, because... If he's named captain in 5 years, he's going to be so fed up with the media, he's going to want to play elsewhere anyways. So he'll be leaving after this contract. And if he's not captain, he'll be pissed off and he'll be leaving it anyway. So I just get rid of him in 5 years, enjoy him because he's gone.
Okay, that was a very Sens boy thing to say. Why don't we wind this one down? We got the Central Division coming up tomorrow on the Tall Can Audio Network. We will be hitting you with all our thoughts on what's going on with the Jets and Blues, which we kind of touched on here a little earlier. The Predators will be a factor there. You know, can the Blackhawks bounce back a little bit? I think we both agree the Central is going to be really interesting this year. And maybe they'll cross over to the Pacific. I think they're far stronger.
Without doubt.
So look for that tomorrow at tallcanaudio.com or wherever you're getting your podcast. And I guess, Matt, we'll see everybody on the next one.
See ya!
We're not gonna be fucking suck this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.